Selectmen's public meeting, so the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for being here, everyone. It's appreciated. I want to start off, before we start the meeting, I just had a couple of things I wanted to say before we start with the agenda items. I have to apologize to the Board of Selectmen and to the public. This is my fourth meeting that I've chaired, and when I took on the role, I was determined to let everybody share their ideas, their comments, and opinion as long as it was done in a respectful manner. Up until our last meeting, I thought everyone was doing a great job. At the last meeting, I failed to enforce that, and in an effort to let people talk, I didn't enforce the respect that I should have, and I apologize. What I first thought was an effort by a selectman to correct some mistakes on previous minutes turned into what I call a bullying session that I felt became an attack about what another selectman had said. This attack appeared to continue with some community members' comments during the public input section. These personal attacks on a board member's opinions and comments, as well as expressing derogatory remarks about another Board of Selectmen that existed over 5 years ago, a board that most of us were not even on, they need to stop. Again, I'm referring to since I have taken the chair. I'm not going back, we're moving forward, hopefully. As I said at the beginning of the first two meetings I chaired, we are Candia's Board of Selectmen. We all try to do our very best for all our citizens. We all have our own opinions, our ideas, and our comments, and they might not always be the same as yours, or even each other's, but I personally will not allow any board or audience member to be verbally bullied, abused, or ridiculed just because one doesn't agree with him or her. Most of us are trying to work together to move this town forward, and I can't let unresolved spats keep us from doing the important work we have to do. Handle that on your own. We don't have time to do it at these meetings. This past cruise night is an example of what we can accomplish if we all just work together. I ask you all to join me in the spirit of respect and cooperation. Again, it was my responsibility to maintain that respect, and I failed to do that. And again, I apologize to board members and the public. I will do better. Thank you very much. And Scott wanted to say a couple words.
Yeah, like Sue, I kind of reflected on that meeting a little bit too, and I thought about it, and I went back to when I took my oath to serve, and I got thinking about it. No one actually ever explicitly said to me, this is the code of conduct, or this is the way that we should conduct ourselves, but I always assumed that we all have the responsibility to engage in what we call civil discourse. So, like you said, you get a lot of emotion sometimes. I've done it myself. We've all got heated through the years, you know, all of us. So
we're trying to change that.
You know, but you're right. I was going to say tonight, I would urge all board members to just, again, start anew, Sue. That's an old chapter. Something where people, we're not going to waste, like you're saying, 30, 45 minutes on something that's going nowhere. We're going to move it forward. I like that theme. And handle stuff offline, you know. So yeah, and you know, the other thing is, you know, integrity as well and ethics. And we seldom even talk about it, you know, as a board. I didn't get any like formal education, but you start reading things and you read about how it is you should engage and how you should do things in meetings. And I think we need, as a board, from time to time, and I don't know if you're even a non-public type thing, Sue, but have a little discussion or have a round table with Bart and say, hey, this is how you guys conduct yourself. This is how a this is what civil discourse is, and this is the way you should be representing your town. You know, I think that would go a long way, because we don't, in all reality, get a lot of training in a lot of these matters. So I think it's important, and I think if we can have that tone of civil discourse, it doesn't matter. We all can, you know, have disagreements, but anytime you escalate from civil to barbaric, it never works out for anybody. So I agree. It's like when I think back in the last year, the last 3 years, how much time we've wasted, how much energy and focus when we could have been doing something positive that we've been wasting on non-productive, deeply emotional things. So yeah, I agree. The emotions got to just be done. We come here, we have civil discourse, we talk about the business before the town, and we all treat each other. That's where I'm coming from.
And I was thrilled after the first two. I thought it was going really well, and I don't know, maybe it was just a hot, bad day at the last meeting, but I think we can all move forward. Do either of you, you're all set with that? Or?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. So we will move forward.
Thank you.
Here we go. Approval of previous minutes. I'll entertain a motion if you've got a chance.
To accept the June 25th meeting minutes as published.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. I would just like to note that, you know, when we look back over the minutes, we do have to schedule that grade and step system thing. That's got to be brought up to the...
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up on the other business.
Oh, you are? You got it? He's got it on the other business. Okay.
Would it be easier for the board if there was like an old business section than a new business? Is that... Would that be more helpful?
Yeah, that would help us close some of these
gaps.
Yeah.
Because that's my biggest...
Some of the things we're working on.
My biggest complaint of government is it moves too slow. I mean, it just seems like we're all trying to accomplish things and it just, you know, we kick it down the road and we'll do it later and later never comes. So that might be a format that we want to explore if that's something the board wants to look at. So at least we can check those old off and move on. That might work that way. Great. Okay, so we had a vote on that, and other than your Scott's comment, I believe everyone was in favor. So we'll go right into department reports. Mr. Lewis, you're on.
Okay, the month of June, we got the salt shed painted. The guests of the county came up and painted it for us. Did a good job, straight painted it. We just provide them with lunch and the tools and the paint they need. It came out well. They were here for 3 days, didn't cost us anything. It came out well. So
perfect.
Then we did paving on Pritchett and Old Deerfield roads. There was a shim and overlay on both of those. From Island Road all the way to Old Deerfield, and then the remainder of Old Deerfield where we stopped about 3 or 4 years ago, from there down to 43. Culvert cleaning on Brown Road and Crowley Road due to beaver activity. Both of those are ongoing. I go probably 3 times a week and clean those out, but the real problem on the one with Brown Road, the dams are on private property. They do get a little bit in the culvert, but the water level's high. The residents are complaining about it, but it's really not the town's responsibility. The dams are on private property. The landowner doesn't want them trapped, hurt, or anything else, but also doesn't like the water, so can't have it both ways. So I keep the culvert clean and the water moving, and that's our responsibility.
Thank you.
Patching was done as needed, and grading on Tower Hill due to one of those thunderstorms. That was it for the month.
Any questions for Dennis? Thank you, Dennis. Police.
Good evening. Kind of ties in with what Dennis said. We did get a couple, one concern of speeding vehicles down at Cridget Road. And the person also informed me of several dead trees that she thought were a hazard, and we're close to knocking out the utility wires. I consulted with Dennis and I informed the two utilities, Eversource and Electric Co-op, about the issue, and Eversource said they were sending out the arborist to check it, haven't heard back. Co-op said they did send an arborist out there who said that there was one tree they found. There's a lot of trees and they couldn't find anything except one, and they're going to address that. So waiting to hear back from Eversource, and then Dennis told me he took down quite a few trees when they did that reconstruction project a while ago.
Last year we took down, I don't know, 19 or 20 of Richard Road, so they're all dead.
So Mike did call her back and told her that they're looking into it, the utilities and whatnot. We have picked up some, an increase in speeding vehicles down there. We've been down there, Gallagher's been down there, myself, and doing some directed patrol trying to do that on any of all the roads, actually, but I've been making an extra effort to get out myself and hit a few spots. Chester Turnpike, we've had a few complaints. Main Street, Chester Road. Anybody's welcome to call the department, let us know if there's any particular vehicle and whatnot, or anybody you would call the one. And we're trying to see if we can find that guy, so I'm sure we'll pass him across.
All right.
Address that one. Midnight officers are aware of that. Let's see, we had the safety meeting the other day. The golf crossings came up on South Road. It's a recurring issue. I went down, I spoke to the, there's a new manager. Talked to him, gave him some guidance at Manchester Public Works that suggested how to do the crosswalks. Dennis got the federal manual on the engineering manual on how to design crosswalks and whatnot. Gave them the instructions and met with the groundskeeper, is that the problem?
Yes,
so I think they're going to get it rectified. We kind of both went at them and said, you know, this has gone on long enough and can't just go out and use house paint and whatnot. I think they understand. And hopefully we won't be talking about that at any more safety meetings or selectmen meetings. Lo and behold, we did get a resident we called in last week. Actually came into the station, was a little upset about it because a golf cart came out. He was coming down. Ironically, I said, we're addressing it with the golf course as we right now, so we'll get it rectified. Two-way Communications installed a new base radio that was funds encumbered a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in Karen's office. We have a state-of-the-art digital unit down there. With a unit upstairs that's connected to it, so we can actually hear the radios. We're having some problems with our portables, and the guys, including myself, when we're upstairs, can't. We could be sitting across from each other in the upstairs, and one officer that gets the reception, and I won't hear a word from dispatch. Now with this new unit that's piped into Karen's new radio, it's like a loudspeaker, and you can communicate right from it, like a phone, right upstairs. So that's
nice.
The guys are going to be liking that. We got some donations. I wanted to thank Bob Petron from town, donated some animal cages to the ACO department. We gave a thank you letter. We appreciate it. And Jeff Marion dropped off some office chairs and a conference table that we have to assemble. But they looked at high quality merchandise, so we got a thank you letter to him in the works. We appreciate those residents helping out the department. Let's see. And last but not least, I have a candidate. He is on vacation, part-time position, Shane Pellerin. We're kind of under some deadlines by the academy to get a new hire into the August academy, but we have to have the paperwork approved by the board by July 14th. Shane's on vacation, and it's not fair to him to come down here. He would have came down to introduce himself. A young guy that graduated from Unity College in Maine. He's going to be 22, I think, next month. He got a degree, a bachelor degree in conservation and law enforcement. Seems eager. He works in construction. His dad runs a construction business in Manchester. He did an internship at the Manchester Water Works. We spoke with those officers, and they there's no openings, and they thought he was a decent guy.
Okay.
It was a law enforcement internship. I gave him a conditional offer. We still have to do a little bit of testing on him. A couple things we got to clarify, clean up. It's typical. So I got a conditional offer to him. If he completes that, we'll hire him. I wanted to ask the board for permission to have the board hire him conditionally based on my conditional offer tonight. Based on the new grade system, grade 5, step 1, which is $18.22 an hour. He would have to go to the part-time academy, which starts, I believe, August 9th or the 11th. It's just a little over 200 hours. Like I said, we have to have the paperwork done by the 14th. They said we could turn it in next Monday. told the police academy that we that I'd be in front of the board tonight. I met with him as well as Lieutenant Gallagher and Corporal Gray. They originally interviewed him, as they did many other guys, and then finally I met with him, feel him out, see if he'd be a good fit. I think he's young, wants to learn, and got some good people skills.
What are the conditions of the offer?
He's got to complete the psychological testing.
Yep.
The background just got done. Yep. Dan Gray, the corporal, just finished that up. See no issues. It's just not fully typed up yet.
Okay.
And I don't have it in front of me. We have a couple other boxes checked off on there. If he doesn't meet our requirements within 1 year period, he's out the door.
Is he going to make a commitment?
That's what I was going to ask.
He made a commitment for 3 years. Face to face when I met with him last week.
Okay.
He's looking for full time
law
enforcement, and he originally, like I said, went to Unity College and tried to get in with fish and game, and it's hard to get in. And it was like a full time position. And
so we don't have another selectors meeting between now and the 14th, so you're going to need a motion tonight.
Correct.
To offer this guy to make a conditional offer to him.
That's what I'm asking for.
Is that appropriate at this time?
Yes, for sure.
I move we authorize Chief McGillan to make an offer, a conditional employment offer to Mr. Pellerin. Shane Pellerin's offering part-time position with the Canyon PD, subject to the meeting our requirements and committing to a 3-year term of service to the town.
Correct.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second for a couple of questions.
Okay.
All right. Now, you said you wanted full-time.
Correct.
And this is for a part-time position, correct?
Yes.
So he's committed for 3 years as part-time or to go on full-time?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I believe he would take a full-time position here, and I don't know what the future holds, but that may, we may have someone that may be retiring in the near future.
That's what I'm saying is logistics at this point, but what I'm saying is it was his commitment for 3 years for part-time?
It was.
Okay, that qualified.
Yeah.
The other question is, you've got step five, grade five. What is grade five?
That's where all the part-time offices have been put in by the consultant that the town hired on that plan that you guys approved.
Okay.
All the part-time officers, and that's the initial beginners grade.
No, fine. I don't have it in front of me.
We do not have a breakdown as far as, is someone certified or not certified. We just have a starting point, step one.
No,
grade
fine.
Grade five, step one.
Okay.
No.
Which is a fair wage. I mean, as I explained before, there's a lot of agencies trying to hire guys.
There's
difficulties out there. And
I just wanted to follow what the grade was. That's.
I think Russ's point is if we have a full-time opening within that 3-year period, does he have to satisfy the remaining term for that 3-year period? Is he eligible to apply for a full-time position?
Of course, that would be ideal.
That's good.
We don't have a crystal ball here. Who knows? This guy's never done law enforcement, but he went to school for 4 years for it, and he did an internship at Water Works. So he kind of has to, you would think that someone would have an understanding on how it works. But sometimes officers come into a situation, they work 6 months and they never had any exposure, then they go to a tragic situation, and it can change somebody.
Yeah.
You can sit there and say there's a picture of somebody in this condition, and that doesn't mean anything until you actually hands-on and hear at that call. Mm-hmm. We've gone to suicide calls that are very unpleasant, we've gone to bad motor vehicle crashes and whatnot, so there's been people that aren't cut out for law enforcement. But I think we give this guy a chance.
Sure.
He's got the education, he's done internship to show that he wants to do that.
Okay.
And it's part-time, so I don't think we have a lot to risk, so to speak.
Sure.
May I interrupt for 1 minute? First of all, can you hear in the back? Because Andrea was nice enough to put that on because I thought it might be hot this evening. Do you want the air off, or are you comfortable and you can all hear, or what?
Yeah, for the most part, we can hear, I think.
Okay. All right, that's the first thing. And for the audience, I believe, from what I understand, we send them to the academy.
Correct.
The town pays for it, which is why we ask for some type of commitment in return. Okay, just in case you were wondering how we could lock him into a 3-year commitment, that's the reason why.
On that, just a little quick, we pay for by the hour, the 200 hours we pay him. Do we pay him travel or anything?
I have to look that up.
Don't bring it up, Ross. Don't bring
it up. It's been a while. I have to see how we do and make it fair.
No, no, what we've done in the past, I have no problem with that.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, oh, no. I think this gives us the...
He made a written verbal commitment. That is not an assigned contract.
Yeah, we had discussed that.
We don't have contracts at part-time offices. We never had. Actually called some offices, police departments, after we had that conversation, the last selectmen's meeting, to see what's going on in neighboring towns, and it's not done. And like, just to get a guy on board, hopefully you get a candidate that can excel and move into a full-time position.
Right.
And they know the people, and they know the layout in the town.
No, that's...
And it's advantage. Good for us, you know?
So we have a motion, we have a second for discussion. Is everybody ready to take a vote? All of us in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck with that.
One thing you can add in there, I did, my liaison who isn't here tonight, has an agreeance with it, by the way.
Okay.
I can add into the minutes too, but...
Okay.
Helton didn't have an issue with it.
Good.
Perfect, thank you.
I have one question for Chief.
Sure.
Back to the golf course, you know, where people pull over and park when they're driving the balls, driving range?
Yes.
Well, it seemed like if they pull off the road and they're over there, I guess we've had discussion about this, and maybe some issue about the legality, but it seems very practical, people pull in there, it seems safe and that there's not accidents. But lately I've seen people, rather than being parallel, they're going perpendicular to South Road. So I didn't know, in your discussions with the new manager over there, if perhaps they could post something or have somebody at least keep an eye on and let people know that. I don't think you want to turn that into a perpendicular situation there, and I have seen that.
I can definitely address that. I have seen it myself.
Yep, you have?
Parked on an angle, whatnot, sticking out a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're sticking out on the road, we definitely address it right away, but I can speak to the new manager about that.
Because then they're backing out of there.
Sure,
you
I'll
know.
Do that. Yeah. Yep.
Anything else, John? Is that it, Chief?
And just to add on to the thing you mentioned about the, I stayed out and was out for the cruise night the other night.
Thank you for doing
and
that.
And Corporal Gray was out there, and we helped the
yes.
people get out and get the flow of traffic going. A lot of good reviews from the people that were out on Old Candia Road watching it.
Oh,
no. I didn't know most of them. There was a lot of people out there that pulled over, and I did know some faces. And it was all positive. No one complaining about anything, which is awesome.
Good.
It's a great event.
I enjoyed it. It was good to see some of the veterans. Got some of those guys down there.
I
was down there. I did some raffle tickets and stuff, and a few of them approached me, and we had some conversations. But it was good to see a lot of the townspeople there and whatnot.
Good.
Thank you very much. Anything else? We're all set to move on to fire.
June. Highlights were regular truck and building maintenance, training on water supply, hose placement, and water flow capacity, and EMS training. That was the highlights for the month. Activity in the department, it's EMS incidents. It comes back to every month that way, and there are fire permits, 12 of them, forestry, and because of the hot weather, there was no burning permits issued. But they have monthly drills, or 10 monthly drills, and 11 pump operations. Cardiovascular system, 6 training on that. Any
questions?
No.
How about building?
Month of June, building activity. 32 permits issued, no new code enforcement cases, same 3 are still open. Didn't close any out, 105 inspections, 29 permits closed, 2 permits renewed. We're close to being double on the revenue this year because of bigger projects. We've got 12 houses going on right now. They ever complete the road up on High Street. We might have 9 more up there, and we've got another half a dozen scattered about coming, so pretty busy year for us.
Yeah. Any questions for this word?
We got a quick comment. I just wanted to thank Dave for helping with it. It's a nuisance, is that a local business? won't get into what business, there's been some issues, and we had to report some stuff to the building department, and they took some action. It was helpful, I think, so. It's an improvement.
Love to hear the cooperation. Great job. Thank you. Solid waste.
There will be no report this evening. Manager was on vacation. I'll have it ready for the next meeting.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to the, anything else, any other departments or anything else to report? The next, the board will consider having a public comment session at the beginning and at the end of the selectmen's meeting. I think presently we try to do one at the end of the selectmen's meeting. Your thoughts?
I welcome any input from the public. It doesn't matter whether it's the beginning or the end of the meeting.
Okay.
If you think, kind of come to a resolution from whatever may be lingering and so you can move forward, I think it's a good idea. We did tonight, we talked in the beginning about the last meeting.
Okay, but that wasn't...
We can't hear you back here, Scott. Can you talk kind of talk a little louder?
Do you want that off, Sharon? I am freezing.
Yeah, we can shut it off.
I don't know about the rest of you.
I think you were a little low talking.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I think that'll make a big difference here. There we go. Better?
Yes, thanks.
Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, that's, I'm fine.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's a tough one. If we open, it could be new business or something. I like the idea. I like the input. Don't get, you know, that's, mm-hmm. But how do we do it? We are talking about old business and new business. Do you sort of encompass it in those two categories? I don't know.
I think it's old business, personally.
And then I think sometimes at the end when we're under other business, we bring up items that aren't necessarily agenda items, but mm-hmm. things that selectmen have. I think that's why we try to do the public at the very end so they've heard what's yeah. happened. Mm-hmm. But I can also understand the comment, if I'm getting it correctly, that it's hard to, if we're talking about, okay, we're gonna close Brown Road permanently, it's hard for the public to input if we've already closed it or made a decision. I believe that might be, and I'm going to ask Sharon, was that your intent?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes, because the agenda, you post the agenda so mm-hmm. people know what you're talking about, and you come in, but you don't get the input on what you're talking about until after you've talked about it and made a decision. So that was just, and it didn't have to be a give and take. So I know, because that can be difficult. Like, I mean, however you want to do it, but I know... At least that if there was something on the agenda that I wanted to comment on, I could comment. My comment could make a difference before than after when it's already been decided and voted on, I guess was sort of just my thought on that.
So, okay. So basically anything that's on the agenda at that item, keeping it open for some input.
Sure.
And if there's no input, and then we make a motion to sure. move on it. That would
fair.
Encompass everything.
Sure.
All right. So it's old stuff and current stuff.
Sure.
That'll bring us current.
You right. all along. So.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Hall. Public comment.
I got the impression that this would be similar to the school board meeting. They have public input at the start of the meeting, relatively, and then at the end of the meeting. Similar to that, is that what you're getting at?
That's what I was suggesting.
Yeah, it works very well in a school department.
Now, I haven't been for a while. Do they limit to like a minute apiece, or what do they do as far as to keep it?
There's no give and take. It's just
you state your case.
Oh, you get up, you talk, and then you sit down?
Right.
Because a public hearing is a little bit different than our business meeting.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon DeWitt. I would say that, it's not, but I think that you could start out with one way and then modify, but really the attendance here isn't where, so much where I think that you would need to limit it to like a minute, because, and people may not even have anything on to comment on, or, you know, but I think that if it's important if there was something that wanted to be said. But again, that's where I was coming from with that. And the school board does it where Most of the time they don't, like, you could just comment on whatever. You could comment and say, you know, hey, I saw you at car night or something, mm-hmm. and thanks for doing that. Or, you know, like, they could do anything. And sometimes the board does respond back depending upon what it is, but it's not to get into, like, a back and forth about, well, I feel this about this or I feel that about
right.
that. It's just a commenting, yeah.
Okay. So how about, are you in agreement with trying it that way for a while and then opening up, I mean, before we take a vote, if it's a big issue, and I guess if anyone has anything to add to some of these other things that we're discussing, they can ask to speak then?
Yep.
And then, I mean, if it gets to be, again, I just don't want it to turn into a debate. Everybody has an opinion. We need to hear from everybody because it's your town. You know, and we're not too, I mean, this isn't too bad. Like this tonight, it's not going to be too long, I don't think. But
I think we
try it.
We try. We modify and
we adjust.
And if we,
sounds
you know,
good.
If we're listening or what have you, that type of thing.
Okay. So if how about we do it that way? If we start, so under each item before, if it's something we're taking a vote, probably not with the minutes unless there's something blaring that somebody sees when they read it or they listen to the tape. We won't do it at that point, and obviously like payroll and like that, there can be questions, but that's probably not. So we'll try it after anything that's applicable, and then we'll have to see if we're here till midnight. Probably not. We'll have to curtail it a little bit. How about, is that your intent? Something like that,
yeah,
Sharon?
However you wanted to do it, I just wanted to throw that out as a suggestion.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Why don't we try that, and we can maybe try the old business, new business.
We have to take a vote.
Do we have to take a vote, or is this just an operating procedure?
Just format change.
I think it's kind of a, it's a trial run. How's that? Is that okay? All right, sounds good. Thank you very much for your input. Okay. Next, Mrs. Philbrick.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you for bringing the whole question of veteran recognition right to the forefront. This has been on the Heritage Commission. We kind of got a start several months ago. We actually began our meeting at the monument because we wanted to see exactly what does the monument say and what do we have. And there are three monuments up there, the big monument, obviously, mm-hmm. But then the World War I monument, which is the Gristone monument. Mm-hmm. And then right in front of the flag, there's another monument, and that is just to all men and women who have served. And I actually went up there tonight to see if I could see who had put that one up. And it's got a lot of lichens on it, but I
yes.
think it says it was put in 1975. And my guess is it was probably put up when the flag was put up because it's right in front of the flag. And I was not really sure just what that meant. But the realization for the Heritage Commission is that since World War II, our town has not officially recognized veterans. Interestingly, we aren't the first ones, if I may, to give to you. This was Fred Kelly in 2008. Did the very same thing we're trying to do now, and he wrote to Ted Gatzis and to Judd Gregg at the time, recognizing the veteran and flipping over to the Judd Gregg one. So the question was, how do we find out who our vets are? That was the big question. And the second paragraph, thank you for contacting me, but the second paragraph starts with unfortunately, so that's not a good sign when you start with unfortunately. And what it appears is that for privacy reasons, it's actually getting the names of these vets is not an easy thing. Andrew, did you make a copy of?
I did. That list?
Yeah.
Do we have that here?
Yep, they have it.
May I just, have you spoken with Carlton Roby? Because he did all this research and he spearheaded it. And we're actually missing one from World War II also. A Candy resident from World War II.
Okay.
So he has done tremendous. I mean, he's done all the research and was all ready to engrave. And actually, we gave him the okay at the last meeting. But do you know? I know there are three names missing.
From the previous wars.
Francis Pittman is World War II.
Okay.
He's missing from that one. And then we had two other ones. Let me see if I have it in my notes. Johnson and Frank Index from Vietnam. And you're absolutely right about getting the information, but he has gotten all of that information. Have you touched base with him? He's done all this research.
The listing that I have here for you this evening, and that would be many, many pages.
Right.
Many, many, many pages. Is a listing of 685 vets.
I gather the ones in red are from
And the
Candia.
Ones that in red are deceased.
Are from Candia?
Yeah, and the way that... Are you folks looking at the same thing I'm looking at?
I'm not looking. Oh, I'm in here?
Sorry. Keep going.
Okay, this is amazing work from Jim Lindsay. Jim's work is just phenomenal. And he acquired this multiple ways that he acquired this. So this now is just an alphabetical order. So if you want to know what war it was, if it says 1775, then you've got a good chance it's probably the Revolution. But this only goes through World War II, okay? And after that, we don't have the list. And if you look over on where it says monument, okay, that would be this the column right here.
Right, yeah.
Column right here.
Right.
And if you go down to number 28, there was a James Batchelder. And he died in 1862. And the yes there means yes, he is on the monument.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the references, going above that, references 155, reference 48, what that has to do with is on the monument. If we were to look at one side of the monument, it would say, in memory of the 155 men of Candia who served in the War of the Revolution and killed, were Lieutenant Dearborn and Parker Hills. So the 155, in memory of the 155,
okay,
so that's going back here to, that's here.
Okay.
So the monument, it says that he is referenced on the monument, being one of the 155.
Okay,
so that's how that works. And so these people, the early war, what would have been found in the Moore history, the Chase history is actually a Chester history when we were coming from Chester, and the Eaton's history is on here, the Lang history, and he's done this from the printed histories and from deeds and from obituaries, and so he's just come up with an amazing...
So it takes us up to World War II?
Up through World War II.
Up through World War II.
Well, no, because I know Pittman's missing, because I was up to the monument myself, so I know he was World War II.
And he was World War II,
yes, and it says right here, Pittman killed and buried in France, but, he was 1940.
Because I thought I had seen his name here.
Yeah, I went up and took pictures.
Page 11.
No, he's on the list. He's not on the monument, I don't believe. Let me see here. And people in the audience, if you served in one of these wars or in the wars, you're listed as a number like 162 or 263 served. If you died, you're listed, your name is listed. If you died serving, is that correct?
Well, yeah, because our monument actually differentiates between died in battle,
yeah,
killed in battle, or died.
Right.
so.
Yeah, they have killed men, they have died in service.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so yes, absolutely. Francis Pittman, killed, buried in France. He was in the 8th Army, but the dates are not here and correct. There is not a reference that he is in on the monument. And you said he is not on the monument, is that correct?
I don't believe I'd have to specifically. But again, Carl, I don't, when was this generated, this list? I mean, a year ago, a day ago? When did he do this?
A few years ago, not just recently.
Okay.
Because just in preparation for trying to have some information here tonight, I've been able to, you know, gather some of this stuff of what we actually have.
So is it, I'm sorry, I'll let you, how about.
Did you say World War II is not represented on here? Or
Pittman isn't, the others might be.
I think it should be.
Well, because there's a lot of people who died in 1941. That would have been World War II.
Well, Paul Price.
He didn't die in 41. He did. He was over in Germany, but he wasn't. Yeah.
Vet 1941.
So he served, but he didn't. Right. He wasn't killed, and he didn't die as a result of the war.
So I guess I can't say for sure that this is complete through World War II.
I would really recommend talking with Carlton. He's done all, he knows who's on there, who's not. We had approved at our last meeting, we gave him permission to get it engraved, and then we had some questions, and we said that he said you know, it was fine if we waited 2 weeks. I don't know how much they cost to come out and engrave. We know three are missing. I mean, if it's a couple hundred bucks, I'll pay to have them come out again if we're missing a fourth. It's just taken so long.
Well, so shouldn't we follow the format that's already on that monument up there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the number of men from Candia who served in the war,
mm-hmm.
and then identify the ones who were killed in that war. That's how mm-hmm. it starts with the Civil War, and it goes all the way through mm-hmm. the French and Indian War,
mm-hmm.
The Mexican right. War. In World War I.
Right.
And so it always starts with, in honor of 34 men of Candia who served in World War I. And then it says, killed in action. In memory of the 48 Candia men who served in the War of 1812. And then they mention J.W. Webster, who was killed in the Mexican War. Starts with the Civil War in honor of the 426 men of Candia who served in the War of the Rebellion. So if we're going to be consistent on this thing, we have to know how many men from Candia served in World War II.
Correct.
That's correct. The first number we need to know. And then we need to know the ones.
World War II is not on the main monument, right? It has
it's
World
not.
War I.
That's correct.
It does not say in honor of so many men from World War II, and therefore this Mr. Pittman is not on there. That's right. Correct.
So yeah. That's what he wanted to add that on. Is my, and again, I'm sorry, you're not here to speak about that, but I believe he wanted to add that on.
His name.
Put the number.
Oh, do we know that number?
Well, I think we know as best as we can. If he did this a couple of years ago, we haven't had more serve in that war, obviously.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not more. So, there's none on here for that current, really.
Well,
1965 Bartlett.
Well, 65 isn't World War II, but that's another.
There are four names here from
Vermont,
Vietnam on this list. There are four And those are the most recent on there. So I think the question that you're asking is if we were looking at the years of World War II and we go through here and died or served in those years, can we put together a World War II list?
And if we can't, we put served and we leave that number blank, but at least you know Mr. Pittman died from that war.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you put his name on it. The two Vietnam gentlemen we know died from that war. So put Vietnam, number served. We can leave it blank. I'll pay a couple hundred bucks to have the guy come back out and put the number in. If you're not confident with this list and what Carlton has. Do you know what I mean? I think he just wants to get it done.
So can I go ahead.
Yes.
Isn't Carlton Heritage Commission with you?
No. No, actually, Russ is our representative.
Oh, okay. Did he used to be on Heritage?
Yeah, he has been, yeah, for a long time.
All right. So you think they should get together, exchange ideas, come up with a number?
Well,
it just sounds like you can get the World War II number from what we have.
We can just add it all up from here.
Well, they can, that's it.
No, just on this paper here.
Wait a minute, one at a time, go ahead.
And determine what the number is now. I wouldn't leave, it should be one complete.
I think he's got that information. I think he'd share if somebody will ask.
Okay, great.
I think, and you have a great relationship with him, so I think he'd share.
Heritage meets tomorrow night, so.
We may be.
This is most definitely on our agenda for tomorrow night. So if he could ever come along, I'll call him and see if he might be able to join us.
That would be great. That would be great. And I think if you put your efforts together, it's gonna make everyone's job easier. And it'll accomplish.
As far as though, the way that, you know, looking at this to last, I mean, we'd like to think that there aren't going to be multiple more wars. But the question would be, you know, whether or not as this monument becomes, I'm not sure engraved is the right, whatever the right word is for that. You know, do we list each war, or even if it's called a conflict?
Right.
You know, or do we just put, you know, a certain person, you know, killed in battle and just give it a date? Do we have to, you know, as we go on, do we need to actually name?
You're in danger of running out of room on that thing.
Well, there's a holdback. I mean, I hope to heaven's not, but there's a holdback, I mean, that you could utilize, and that
where
whole side.
Frederick, yeah.
Yeah, both of these are pretty much, have you seen it?
The back side only has given
see,
by.
Those are the two. I'm sorry, audience. Projector. Put that on my list.
The back side says this monument is presented by Governor Frederick Smith Foundation by the town. So it has four, you know, uses four spaces, and the rest of it is blank.
Right. So hopefully, even if we had another skirmish, you could list it and how many people served, if it's available. I mean,
well,
if,
I
for
guess
privacy.
The problem is that I don't think we're going to be able to get who has served. That's the thing. I think the only way, like, you know, we probably all know people who have served in Vietnam, but I tend to think the only way that we would have a Candia list is going to be
voluntary,
word of mouth, you know, because people, you know, I don't know if we know people who served in Korea from town.
How about you put approximately or plus or minus or something up there that.
But we, I don't think we know, and I don't think, I called the Boscawen Cemetery because I thought that might be at least a good place to start. You know what they told me to do? They told me to go to Washington, D.C. and go to the National Archives. Well, thanks. That's
you didn't? That
ridiculous.
Sounds like a road trip. The eighth graders, I think, are going in October. Let's do it.
Well, so I think what for the privacy, we're not going to come up with a list except by word of mouth. Now, I think Facebook is pretty popular. Maybe we can say
we would like
to create a list, maybe at Old Home Day. We could have somebody wanting to make a list. I don't know, but I don't think going to archives is going to get us the names.
Russ, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, the thing we're asking, when Mr. Kelly sent this out, he was asking for names. What happens if we ask for how many veterans from Candia?
Numbers rather than
just
names.
Just numbers.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
That might.
Just numbers.
That
and
might
the
be
other
better.
And the other item, you know, you said on the flag. The flag was to all veterans that have served.
In all wars.
In all wars. So I mean, in I think somebody had some foresight to try to recognize veterans in that section.
I was hoping the stone would say who had put that monument up, but it
no I mean, but what I'm saying is, so the town, you know, had somebody had taken some consideration to recognize a veteran, you know, just veterans of wars.
And you know what? Maybe that's what we do. To all who served in the Vietnam War, let's not put a number.
Right.
Do we need a number?
To all, yeah.
Do we need a number that way?
Just to all.
Yes,
and
that way
Carlton
gets it done.
And then putting in the names of those two.
Yes.
Oh, that would work.
How about we do that?
Yeah.
And because everybody's happy?
If you can't come up with a reliably accurate number,
leave it out.
Oh,
So you'll discuss that tomorrow at your meeting?
And if that's done that way, those two names, and if a third name comes up, it can still
then
be added.
Still be
added.
Under. No, so I mean, we've accomplished that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So you'll take care of that.
You'll
speak with Carlton about that.
Right. The other question that I asked is, in our cemeteries, when the flags are all put in, how do we know that we are actually marking all of the graves and appropriately? And Jim Lindsay even has a whole cemetery list. Who's in which cemetery? I don't know who does that and organizes it.
The Boy Scouts, and I think it's Lisa Cody, I believe. And then I know Fletcher donates all the flags, and I believe it's Lisa Cody, and the Boy Scouts get it done.
Oh.
Yeah,
so
they're wonderful about doing that.
But they must, the question is, you know, what kind of a list that they go by, and...
I think she'd be your contact on that one if you want to be really accurate.
Yeah.
And
I think they're putting everything on computer now, so hopefully when that goes in, they're putting down a veteran or what have you, or, it's for recognition at that point, because that's a cemetery has been...
Oh, yeah. Holly Haas is
she's
doing,
wonderful.
Oh, yeah, she's doing
she's
a great
wonderful.
Job.
So
it's Lisa Cody who
yes, and I don't want to give her
that.
Number without her permission. How about... Do I have your permission to give her your number?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That
How
would
about
be great.
I do it that way?
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
she'd
right.
be a
thank
great
you
one.
So much.
Of
thank
course.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
We just wanted to have veterans.
Well, recognized.
Recognized. That's the main thing.
Perfect. Okay, so that's done. Are
Does
we anything have? Else?
Does anybody in the audience have something that they might want? I don't know. Maybe
they
know
wanted
somebody.
To put the air back on.
Does anybody in the audience know anybody that veteran Y that where?
We can get that out there. How's that, Russ? We'll try to get that out there on social media or whatever.
There you go.
And then put the two names.
Okay. Is everybody satisfied
sure.
with that?
Yeah.
Here we
yeah.
go. So Carlton and they'll work on that together and go on from there.
Good.
The next item is the selectmen to approve the request for funds. From the fire suppression, are you addressing this, Russ? You don't have to.
What I'm saying is, I see this letter here now too. Donna had written it.
Okay.
For the funds.
What it is, I believe, to reimburse it reimburses the fire department.
Yes.
For the amount of $2,115. From the fire suppression water capital supply capital reserve
right,
fund.
So
and I'll take a motion on that if anybody's ready.
I'll make that motion, Sue.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. You're on, Boyd. The payroll and the accounts payable, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay, accounts payable for the week ending July 5th, 2018, $759.50. The following week, July 12th, $17,092.97. Totaling for those 2 weeks, $33,888.47. Payroll for July 5th,
Excuse me.
Wait, I had it backwards.
Can you hear our audience back there? Thank you.
The first thing I recited was payroll. I'm on the payables now. For July 5th, $1,066,042.56. And July 12th, $24,054.51. For a grand total of combined of the payroll and the payables of $1,123,985.54.
And some of that was a school, and some of it was, Yeah, 900,000 to the school and Barassa construction.
$148,237.57.
What's Barassa construction for?
I move the disbursements.
Oh, the paving, that's right, too.
I move to accept the disbursements as read.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, any other business? We'll start with you, Russ, if you don't mind.
The only thing, Sue, I had given, the Energy and Recycling Committee is going to request a booth at the old home base.
From Hannah, you mean?
From Hannah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I gave it to Dennis, or in between, because we've got some logistics of what we're going to have there, and that's all. And I don't know if they grant us the use for, or what, I don't know, we'll find out.
And I'll be honest, I don't know what you do, but you don't have to ask the board's permission, from what I understand.
That's what you told me, but I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful to me, but Hannah.
It's going to be educational.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great. Great, thank you very much.
And the other end of it, I say educational, and basically thanking the citizens of Candia
for taking the time.
For what they've done. They're the recycle people, okay?
Great, thank you very much. How about you, Boyd?
Yeah, we got a memo from Donna on June 15th asking for our help in implementing the merit performance plan that we adopted last year. And some of the evaluations are coming due now, and she wants to know how to do this. And I think this is big unfinished business we have before this board.
Okay.
So I don't know how to go about this. I just read the RSA on non-public meetings, and it doesn't look like this is an exception, that discussing a merit pay plan like this qualifies as a subject for a non-public meeting.
Right.
Is something we're going to have to, you know, discuss in an open meeting some night, and we should be doing this pretty fast.
Yep.
Would you like it on the next meeting?
Well, I think it should go on.
And we can let Donna know about that, because
sure.
That's a little less to do that, and because it doesn't have the department reports and like that, so
sure.
How about that?
Well,
is that something you can ask her?
I had a meeting with Carol, because the questions of grade guide, that there is some questions on that, and talking with the attorney, that would have to be done in a non-public meeting, because we talk about a small town, it ends up being individuals, and I don't.
You
I'm
say
not
road agent people know, yeah.
I don't, you know, so I think there is some discussion that has to be done on it, and I'm glad you brought it up for this evening. So we have to.
Do you want to run it by Bart just to double check?
I checked with at our district meeting deliberative session. I checked with him and told him what the situation was, and he said, no, that would have to be in a non-public meeting, because we're talking about different situations. And when I talked with Carol, she said there's going to be some reclassifications that are going to have to be done.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is it's a little bit more involved.
So I think as long as we don't make a decision during that meeting, our decisions, I believe, have to be public. So
right.
It might be something where we hold a non-public and discuss the specifics to it. And then as we go in, then we'll also put it on the agenda so that the public is privy to it.
No, fine.
That's a good idea.
It's just the
sensitive.
Yeah.
All right. Can we schedule that for a non-public prior to the next?
Yeah. We have it for 6:30 next meeting. Is that enough time?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I'll do 6:15.
It's up to you guys. Gives us 6:15.
Yeah. No, it is. Right. It's going to be.
How's that? All right. So 6:15 at the next meeting, you can ask Donna Decker if she'd like to.
Yep.
Well, she just implements it, so.
Right.
Sounds good. Any other business from you, boy? How about you?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
Not a thing, Scott? Okay.
There's a few things. There's a few things bouncing around up there, but no, I don't.
You're not quite ready. Okay.
Well, the getting the price on those on the trees and stuff.
Yes, I do know. As far as Moore Park, I'm glad if it's my turn, I can go to that. Thank you. Everybody knows the light is up and everything. Dean did go up and shim up, or he tried to shim up the basketballs or whatever.
Nice.
I want to have I call it a Moore Park spruce up day, because we have a lot of things we need to do, like move that shed over. I need to get in touch with the key players.
The mulch too.
Well, Dennis, Ronnie, and try to coordinate a day. Lisa was great, and she said the Boy Scouts for Community Service, because I was telling her how after my relatives leave and they're gone, I love them, but they're gone, that I want to paint the tables and like that, and she said the Boy Scouts would help do that. And so I'd like to get it done. Obviously, we want it done before Old Home Day. And I think Ronnie Sloat, I think he's done at the CYAA. I'm not sure. Somebody in the audience might know that, if he's done. I think he's done over there, so now we can get to this field.
What's he going to do to this field?
We're going to fix a softball field.
Okay.
And make it into one that's
with clay.
Correct. I don't know. I'm not the expert. I've looked on the website, and I've spoken with the phys ed or the coach from Moore School. So we've all tried to coordinate that. And also Jesse Remington uses it for their soccer and lacrosse. And I've spoken to him. He's a wonderful gentleman too. And I think if we all get together, we can get it fixed.
Okay.
Hopefully once and for all. And
before Old Home Day.
I really want it done before Old Home Day. Like that shed, there's a lot of stuff, I think, in cutting the trees by the basketball court.
And then there's the old bleachers that are just kind of decaying out there.
Dean said, you need a new, he said those are great, paint them, and he said just put new boards on them.
But nobody sits out there, so to have those bleachers.
Well, I would move them, but again, we need some heavy equipment.
The frames are still in pretty good shape,
And actually sandblast the frames maybe or something. We could get somebody to volunteer to do that, or maybe bring them, to
run. Do we need them? Do we have that many people that are trying? Do we run out of seating?
Well, we don't. I'm wondering. They're old, so it's probably nothing the school would like, but their baseball program was very successful this year.
That might be a good spot.
So I don't know.
That might be a good spot.
I can maybe talk with Dennis Hebert and see if that's something they want or whatever. But
okay.
I think if we all work together, if we had a day or two or a couple of evenings, we could really make that place look beautiful, and kids would have community service. And does anyone know from the audience at Pinkerton, do they need to meet a community service requirement? Does anyone know?
That's a good question. I should know that. But I don't.
Oh, no. Well, there's no, your child should know. You don't need to. But I wonder if you could check on that, Sharon. That would be great. Maybe email me or something.
Sure.
And because if they want to hop on, I mean, we could type up a form. We could type up a form and send it to school with them to satisfy some of that commitment if they have it. So. I think it'll be fun. I think it would be a good activity, a nice positive thing. Everybody grab a rake and go. I want to drive the bulldozer, Dennis.
I'll leave the keys in.
And Mr. Hall, what are you going to do?
I just caught your attention. Considering having a public comment at the end of the selectmen, I presume this is the end of the selectmen?
Yes. Would you like to extend it? Or?
I thought that Mark Laliberti is the town's official representative to Pinkerton, and he would be the one appropriate to respond to that question.
He's a trustee now. He might be one to get in contact. It's probably also on their website, in their book, their handbook, but I don't know. But thank you. That's a great recommendation. I think I'm going to delegate that to Sharon if she'll take it. So, thank you very much. All right, cross that off the list. Any other public input? Any other questions, suggestions, comments? comments?
Good meeting.
Nothing?
Yes, good meeting.
That's great. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming, people.
Move to adjourn?
Yeah.
Second.
Great. Move to adjourn. Boyd, second for us.